Hi, this is Laurel Langmire. I'm the CEO and founder of Live Out Loud. Also wrote the book The Millionaire Maker and Known to Make People Money in Just a Few Days. I have a brand new partnership with Mr. Kevin Harrington, who I'm going to introduce to you in a moment, where we are going to not only teach you and continue to teach you how to make money, which is what I'm known for. I'm going to teach you how to make money guaranteed in 3 days. We're going to expand the education and offering to helping you understand how to crowdfund, how to pitch to a shark, how do you get an investor, how do you take that business, which in your revenue model might only be $100,000, $200,000, or even $1 million, and make it hundreds of millions of dollars. How do you get the biggest goal of your life, and how do you expand using a team and leadership to really know how to put that business together? There's very few people that are doing that level of tactical work and really showing you how do you make the money, how do you find investors, and how do you keep the money for more growth. So Kevin Harrington and I have come together, and it was an interesting story when I first met Kevin. I really called him just to do a day presentation, and together he shared his experience, I was sharing my experience, and it just became a really great partnership. His skills and my skills and the background of what we've both been doing blend so well together. And what we found in our conversation is that the piece of a lot of missing education, when you like think about the Shark Tank and you think about finance and business just in general, is very few people tell you why things didn't get funded. Why didn't the sharks fund the business? You in your own world might say, well, you know, how come no one's paying attention? How come I didn't become a bestseller? How come I didn't have that business opportunity? So the education and the curriculum that we're developing to really deliver to you in total service of you growing and having the life that you really want and you really designed. So the partnership that Kevin and I have come together is called the Shark Made Millionaires. And what we're going to do is we're going to be educating you on how do you make money, which is my conversation. How do you make money? How do you expand? How do you do pre-sales? And as Kevin and I continue to talk, I mean, pre-sales is the way that you can get your inventions funded. You can launch rich. We're going to talk a lot about how you launch rich instead of launch poor. So many of you that are listening, you've put so much money into some product or a book or something that you've been doing, and because you've spent all your money and you've spent through your family and friends' money, you're broke. You've got to have something that's going to take you to the next level. There are solutions to this. In the webinar that we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about how do you pitch to a shark? What's the perfect pitch? From there, we're going to continue other conversations in upcoming programs about crowdfunding. We're going to give you opportunities to actually apply to pitch to us. So Shark Made Millionaires is an educational process where we start by educating you very, very strategically on how to put together the first piece of the whole program, which is your pitch. Now, for those of you who've been working with me, or if you haven't worked with me, putting your business model together is your starting point. So your business model is what is the one thing, the two things, the three things, the four things that you can sell to someone. See, as an entrepreneur, you solve problems and you meet needs. So if you're selling one thing, why not sell four things and bundle it? Because you have to know that there's buying power in the world, and people are going other places to buy other things if you don't offer it to them. So I want you to start looking at your business as a broader opportunity to serve more people, meet their needs, solve their problems. And with that business model and right pricing, you then can put together the perfect pitch. So today we're going to go into a whole conversation with Kevin Harrington about the 10 steps to the perfect pitch. And Kevin Harrington, for those of you who don't know him, he's the chairman and founder of As Seen on TV. It's a publicly traded company. It's widely acknowledged as the pioneer and principal architect of the infomercial industry. In 1984, Kevin produced one of the industry's first 30-minute infomercials. Since then, he's been involved in over 500 product launches, resulting in over $4 billion of worldwide sales, with 20 products that reached individual sales of over $100 million. He's founded Quantum International in the mid-1980s, which merged into the National Media Corporation in 1991. Under his leadership as president, it has now reached over $500 million in annual sales, distributing to over 100 countries in 20 languages. This company's success has been chronicled in case studies at Harvard, MIT, and is still used more than a decade later. Kevin is also the CEO of other entrepreneurial companies, including HSN Direct, a joint venture with Home Shopping Network in 1994, Reliant International Media in 1997, and in Reliant International Media, was sold in 2007. He's worked with the finest celebrities in the world, including Billy Mays, Tony Little, Kris and Bruce Jenner, the Kardashians, Hulk Hogan, Paris Hilton, Jack LaLanne, Montel Williams, George Foreman. His company, As Seen on TV, acquired the web property asseenontv.com, which represents a catalog of direct response products with over 2 million customers and over 10 million annual visitors. Throughout his career, he's established very, very important globally recognized associations, the Entrepreneurs Organization, or formerly known as EO, and Electronic Retailing Association, or the ERA. In total, EO is now 113 chapters in 45 countries, and the ERA power of electronic retailing to sell directly to customers via television, radio, internet, wireless, and it's over 100 countries worldwide. So you can see his extensive resume. When Mark Burnett called and said, Kevin, we're going to do this thing called The Shark. It's an ABC show called The Shark Tank. He was the first one called and first one hired to be on it. So Kevin has appeared on, you can imagine, almost every TV show, from The Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS, Morning News, Fox News, CNBC, The View, Wendy Williams, CNN, MTV, Bethany TV, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and it goes on and on and on. So without further ado, Kevin, you tell your story best. Let's start with your story.
Thank you, Laurel. Well, so 30 years ago, I was this young entrepreneur. I say, you know, my mind was sort of in a curiosity overload, and, I had just gotten cable TV installed in my home, and I'm watching at 30 channels, and I'm watching channel 30, and there was bars on the screen. So I'm like, I called the cable operator, I said, there's a problem. The guy just installed my cable. I go to channel 30, and there's nothing there, and they said, oh, that's because we don't have enough programming to put on channel 30. That's coming in 4 or 5 months. And that's when the light bulb went in my head. And it said, I've got to be able to put something on channel 30 right now, because I, as a young entrepreneur, I thought, what if I put products to sell on channel 30 and then give the cable operator a percentage of those sales? And that's what I did. I went out to the cable operator. I talked him into putting products on there, and I started shooting infomercials and putting products on the cable box so that I could then fill channel 30, because they couldn't afford to put programming on. So it wasn't watching television now, it was like watching television. So we started there in the local area. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. I started on local cable. Then I took it to national cable. So Discovery Channel, for example, back in those days, they were at 3 in the morning, they went dark. They came back on at 9 in the morning. So I tied up that block of 6 hours a day on the Discovery Channel. I did the same thing with the Nashville Network, which is now called Spike. And I was buying block time on national cable networks, putting my products in all that block time. So I started with $25,000, then I was doing $55 million a year, then $85 million. All of a sudden, I was at $150 million, and this built into a $500 million business all around the world, because I not only did it here in the U.S., because if I was buying six-hour blocks now on national cable networks, I thought, I wonder what they're doing in Europe, the Middle East, Latin America, Asia. So I started going to these international trade shows, and all of a sudden, we were running on the Sky Channel with Rupert Murdoch, and on Super Channel TV with the Marcucci family in Italy, and the Kinnevik group in Sweden, and Holland. And then we went into Asia. We were on TV Tokyo, Japan. So all around the world, I was filling these dead time zones of television channels late night, and then whatever time of the day, all around the world. And this is really how it started, and then doing business with celebrities, et cetera. So it was a really great lot of years behind the camera shooting the world of As Seen on TV.
So, Kevin, that's the As Seen on TV story, and then one day you got a call from Mark Burnett. Tell us about that.
Okay, so Mark Burnett called me one day. He says, Kevin, you may or may not know me, but I'm working on a show. It's called Shark Tank, and I want you to come out to Los Angeles and see if you might be the right kind of person to be in the show. And I was like, you know, I'm not a great fisherman, so I don't know what is Shark Tank. It sounds like a Discovery Channel show about sharks. He's like, no, Kevin, this is a business show. He said, this is a show where entrepreneurs come and they present their ideas. They're looking for capital. They're inventors. They're entrepreneurs. They present their pitch to a panel of five investor judges. And we want to think maybe you might be one of those investor judges. So I went to L.A. I sat with Mark, and he's walking me through this. And I said, so how's it work? These inventors, entrepreneurs come up. They pitch to a panel of judges, and we either invest in their idea or we don't, and we can negotiate against each other in the process. And I said, Mark, I said, that's going to be real easy for me, because if that's what you call a shark, I've been a shark for 25 years. This was 5 years ago. I said, because I have been doing this now, investing in entrepreneurs and inventors for the last 25 years. So I said, this is going to be no problem for me, Mark. This was at the time Mark had, he already had Barbara Corcoran, who was a real estate guru out of New York. She was going to be on the show, and Damon John was the hip-hop boo-boo guy, and then he had a couple other investors out of Canada, Kevin O'Leary and Robert Herjavec. So this was the beginning of Shark Tank. I shot the pilot for Shark Tank 2008. We got it on ABC Network, and then we went on to do, I actually did 175 segments over the 3 years that I was involved with the Shark Tank guys, and it was an amazing number of years for me to be involved with such an elite group of people in Shark Tank and ABC Network.
Absolutely. So I want to just, without, you know, going into a lot of detail, you know, people watch the Shark Tank. You know, it's a highly watched show. Everyone gets excited. But the piece that no one gets to know about is why things weren't funded. So, you know, I don't want to talk a lot about that whole conversation. We're going to talk about how to do the perfect pitch in just a moment. But why do people need a shark? And do speak a little, like, why don't they get funded?
You know, there was over 50,000 people over the couple of years I was there that actually applied to be on the show. And guess what? They picked less than 500 of them who actually got on the show because they didn't have the perfect pitch. They didn't really know how to go about, number one, getting chosen to be on the show. And then, more importantly, if they did get on the show, how do you actually get the shark to invest in your business? So you know, I saw this over and over and over. I mean, literally hundreds and thousands of times of people that just, they really wanted to be on the show, but they didn't get chosen. Then the ones that did get on the show, they didn't know what to do. So, you know, that's why when you and I decided we were going to get together and go into this market of helping people, there's a technique that if you just follow the steps that we're going to talk about today, you can show people actually how to create a great pitch, how to get that shark that, you know, to take, not only listen to you, but maybe invest in you also, because there's a sequence to getting a shark to want to listen to you and then to want to invest in your idea or your business.
Absolutely. And our goal for all of you that are listening is that you don't become another statistic of somebody that had a great idea. You had whether it's a product or a service, which is where our combination of skills comes together, because Kevin is the king of products as we know it, from all the products we've just been discussing, the Ginzu knife to the juicer. We'll be talking about more of those case studies and examples as we go into our content. So let's get to that content, Kevin. Let's talk about the 10 things that make the perfect pitch, the 10 things that will get a shark. And the frame that I want all of you listening for that are out there is, we're not talking just about maybe getting, you know, me as a shark or Kevin as a shark or even the Shark Tank investors. There's an investor in your town. There's an investor somewhere in the world that's going to love your idea. But if you don't bring the pitch and you don't bring the right format, as you said to Kevin, the sequence to it, you're never going to get funded. So there's 10 key things that will help get your pitch and get you a shark. So the first one of 10, is the attention-getting statement. Kevin, talk about that.
Laurel, this is so important, because if you don't get the attention of the person that you're ready to make a presentation to, they're not going to be listening. the first most important thing is making a statement that will grab their attention, get them to stop in their tracks, and listen to what you have to say. If you watch TV and you see commercials, you'll see, uh-oh, has this ever happened to you? If it's the Ginsu, it slices, it dices, it never loses its edge. If it's proactive skin care, it's get that clear skin that you deserve. We did a product called the Flavor Wave Oven, and we had a pitch that it was from frozen to fresh in an hour, from frozen to, you know, fresh cooked. It was a turkey that could just be so crispy and ready to eat from right out of the freezer. And so these attention-getting statements are so important because I want to know that I have their attention. And the original Ginsu commercial had a guy trying to – he took his foot and he's trying to push into its watermelon. And it was like so funny and obvious that somebody's foot wasn't going to be able to slice a watermelon. But, you know, it was Japanese guys and they were holding this watermelon. It's like, no, you're not going to try to cut a watermelon with your foot. Look at that. That was crazy. But now you're, wait a minute, what's that? You're listening, you're watching. That was the attention getter that went on to become very famous over the years. So get their attention. That's the first step.
And Kevin, one of the things we've had a conversation about, and I want you to share, is when we talk about that attention-getting statement, it's not like 5-10 minutes. I think a lot of people over-exaggerate that. So just like, what's the timing of it? It's clearly the first thing you got to do to get that, you know, it's, and there is a sequence, folks. So as you are listening and taking notes, it's the first thing you do, but how long do they spend on that?
I'll give you a really great case study. I call it the billion-dollar sound. And I did a product called the Food Saver. It's a vacuum food sealing device. And when we used the Food Saver in our infomercial, what we did, this would vacuum food seal leftovers or whatever you wanted to. And to demonstrate that, the attention getter was we took a Coca-Cola can, put it in the plastic bag, and then sealed it, and it crushed the Coca-Cola can. So that crushing of the Coca-Cola can was the attention getter that got people to listen. I call it the billion-dollar sound. And that only took about 8 or 10 seconds to watch that Coca-Cola can crush, and you could hear it actually crushing. And this became a billion-dollar product that was then acquired by Jarden for $160 million, and Jarden is now worth $4.84 billion. So, I mean, yeah, that was an amazing thing. But less than 10 seconds, it's just real quick and real fast, get their attention.
All right, so once you have their attention, number two, mass market focused. And I know, having done this work for 17 years, I think this is a huge missing piece to most people and their idea. They want just enough to kind of manage their household, like maybe 100, you know, 100,000. Some people might think of a $1 million idea. But when you think mass market, you're thinking hundreds of millions and a way bigger game. So speak to that.
If you want to go to build a $1 billion business, that's great. But if you want to build a $10 million or a $100 million business, you have to think of the masses and move beyond the niche. Because what is the earning potential of a really niche target market? You want to do 10 times, 100 times that, hit the masses. And I love to talk about Tony Little. When I first met Tony Little was a bodybuilder, and he actually was a personal trainer to bodybuilders also. And he would show a bodybuilder how they could get extra muscle right there in the arms, or go from a six-pack to an eight-pack on their abs. And he could get rid of the love handles or the glutes. He could tighten them up and put that extra target training aspect to his personal training. So when I said to Tony, well, how many people are actually bodybuilders and that's such a niche market? Why don't we open it up to the masses? Let's open it up to all the women out there that also want to get rid of that flab under the arms, get rid of that those love handles or tighten up those glutes. So when we opened it up and we shot Tony's infomercial, I grabbed him, I put him in the studio, we shot 6 one-hour DVDs, we called it Target Training for the Masses. This now, his first infomercial went from zero to $300 million in sales just because we opened it up to the masses, and actually the masses in this case were women who wanted to lose weight. So think about your business. Think about your product. How can you open it up to the masses?
I love that. And I think when they so speak to them in terms of pitching a shark. Do they have to have the – obviously when you come, you have your attention-getting statement, and then you're pitching how and having that conversation how you're going to take your niche to the masses, correct? The potential person getting funded has to have that conversation, not expect the shark to come with it, correct?
Exactly, because if you pitch a shark and you're in such a niche little category of targeted, your market is so targeted and niche, the shark may be thinking, wow, that's going to be so expensive to get to that little niche and that target, whereas if you have something that might appeal to the masses, it's now, it broadens it, because sharks think big. They think, you know, not in millions of dollars, they think in tens of millions, hundreds of millions, and billions. So you have to open your mind to be able to go in that area. So another example is if you have a localized concept, open it up to the masses. And, you know, I'll just give you a great example of a woman that I buy flowers from. She has been at the flower shop for years, and she sells to just in the past all, you know, like people within a 2-3-4 mile radius of her store. And in her thinking to the masses, one day she said, what if I opened my mind and sold to anybody on the internet by holding classes? And so once a week, she does this internet class where she teaches people how to make flower arrangements, and then she sells them the supplies. And so now she's selling flowers all around the world because she opened her business not just to a 2-4 mile radius of her store. She's selling in dozens of countries around the world now. So she's going after the mass market aspect of her business.
Brilliant. That's a great story, because it's also, you know, we have people from all over the world listening to this program. And, you know, as I was working in South Africa, it just reminds me of all of the folks there. When we put them on Skype or Ustream or Google Hangout, they now can teach their, like you said, their flowers, their jewelry making, their whatever that is. Now they are worldwide and they have it to the masses. So extraordinary. Now, number three, identify the problem you solve. Now, that sounds really simple, and it's like, well, of course. So what's really beneath that that's going to attract a shark?
I always say this. What's the problem that you solve? Because think about an inventor. How does an inventor generally start? And inventors, they try to get very creative on something where they can go and solve a problem. So they walk around their house, and they see problems. They see this is something that I wish could be done simpler or easier, and they solve that problem. And that really is the root of many, many inventions that come out. It's just, what problem can I solve? I actually say solve the pain, and you know, because a pain is like a problem. And if you can solve the pain, there can be a big gain for sure. So a shark is going to say, you know, if you have a product or a service that doesn't solve some kind of a problem, it may be tougher to sell. The minute you can identify a problem, now you have the solution to that problem that very well may be something innovative that they want to invest in. Getting to the root of the problem is going to lead to the solution and the income opportunity and attracting the shark to your pitch or your investment. And that is really one of the beginning things that I look for in a business. The more problems that exist and the more you solve those problems, the bigger the opportunity that you have.
And so, Kevin, talk about the FlavorWave oven. And, I mean, that's just a great example of how quickly it solved, you know, the 4 o'clock dinner problem.
A 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 80% of American households don't know what they're going to have for dinner. So what do they generally do? A mother, housewife, she's sitting there, she's like, looks in her freezer, and it's like, oh, wow, I got to thaw this out, and it's going to take so long. So now, oh, they got to order carry out, or let's go out to eat. Oh, how expensive is that to go out to eat all the time? So the FlavorWave oven was a technology that was infrared cooking. And infrared cooked from the outside in, like a regular oven does, but also, and this was the technology and the patented process, it cooked from the inside out. And that's why it took frozen foods and turned them into very moist and succulent products in, you know, within an hour. So you can take a frozen chicken, grab it out of your freezer, and put it in the FlavorWave oven. It cooked outside in, inside out, and in less than an hour, you were ready. You had a crispy, perfect chicken ready to go for your family. So this became a major problem solver for every household in America, and this went on to do hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars because it solved what 80% of housewives and mothers face on a daily basis, thinking, what am I going to have for dinner? Now they could just load up their freezer full of different things and not worry about having to thaw it, because this was a very powerful product. And the flavor wave went on. It's now called the New Wave. And if you haven't heard of it, you Google flavor wave or New Wave, and you'll see this is one of the biggest successes in the kitchen that we ever came out with over the last 15 years.
And for those of you that are listening that have service-based businesses and you've been around, you know, my work too, I mean, solving problems and meeting needs is the ultimate goal of an entrepreneur. So if you're in a service-based business, you can take all of these concepts and expand, as you've seen on Shark Tank. I mean, they've bought into, and I've bought into a lot of service-based businesses. Some of the things to start thinking about as you're listening to our conversation today is, what can you do to bundle and package more of your services? So if you are in technology and building websites, I mean, websites are useless without copywriters, videography, the ability to post on YouTube, shoot photos. All of that should be in your service offering. So think broader, think bundling. How do you handle more needs? Because people are going to buy from you, or they're going to buy from someone else. So why not capture more of the market share? So if you think about your service-based business, think broader, and expand that offering line. Now, let's get back to number four. So those of you that have been listening, again, so number one is the attention-getting statement. Number two is go mass market and move away from the niche. Number three, identify the problems you solve. And number four, you got to know your numbers. So, Kevin, talk about that.
You got to know your numbers. If you watch Shark Tank, you notice Mr. O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful in the middle, he's always about how much capital is needed and what are you going to use my money for? I talk, you know, where's the money going to go? That's called use of proceeds, right? So when you're going to pitch to a shark and you're going to pitch to any kind of investor, you need to know your numbers. You need to know the background. You need, you know, I want to know, you need $100,000? Well, tell me how that money's going to be used. How are you going to use that $100,000 to build the business? And what is the market potential of that business? What is the competitive landscape of that business? What is the bottom line growth number that you're going to have over the next number of years? Because a lot of very shrewd investors, they are numbers people. So know your numbers, know what it takes, and make sure, because I can give you some really interesting cases of stories where people came on to me as an investor or on the show Shark Tank and said, okay, I need $100,000. And I said, so what are you going to use that money for? Well, I'm going to go get an office. I'm going to buy office furniture and computers and this and that. And it's like, okay, and that's where you're going to spend all the money? It's like, well, yeah, we got to get the office open and the business open. I'm like, but what about marketing? What about public relations? What about promotion? What about, you know, social media? What, you know? Oh, well, yeah, then we're going to need more money. Okay, so now I know that they haven't thought their business plan out properly. So know your numbers, know what it's going to take, and ask for enough. Because I'd rather have somebody, if you came on and said, I need $100,000, I'd rather have you say, I need $150,000, and know that that's everything that you're going to need, because the last thing I want you to do is get $100,000 in and come back to me for $50,000 more, because now I'm very nervous about giving you any more money because you didn't know what it was going to take. So get all of your research done, know what those numbers are going to be. Otherwise, you're going to have a short-lived relationship with your shark investor.
Absolutely. And Kevin, you know, there's also kind of a school of thought that around that low number. From a lot of different capital raisers, including myself, you know, I'll tell them a lot of times, if you don't need 500 or more, even a million or more, you know, either create the money, get traditional financing. For anybody who has, you know, fairly good credit and some cash flow in a business, I mean, getting 100 from a traditional firm, which could be, you know, under 10% for the cost of that money. What's your thoughts on getting that low number, getting, say, 50,000, 100,000? I mean, we see it a lot on Shark Tank. People come on and they'll want 100, 75, maybe even up to 200. That feels like a low number. Give us your perspective on that.
I'll say this. I think it always scares me when somebody starts with such a low number, because I know now they have they're not thinking big enough, because if something is really going to take off, I'm going to need more money for more inventory, for more employees, for more expansion. And so if somebody comes in and says, I need $50,000, it's almost a turnoff to think that that's all that they need, because now they're just not going to be thinking big enough for this business. Because I want to see something grow into millions and tens of millions of dollars, and you're just not going to be able to do it with $50,000. So now, in a worst case, I would say, show me a plan that asks for a phase one amount of money and then a phase two amount of money for the expansion. So well, maybe phase one is prove out the model and prove out that you know what you're doing, and that's phase one, and then that leads to phase two, which then is the amount of money you need to roll out that model and to build a huge and very successful tens of millions of dollars type of a business. So don't start too low, because like you just said, Laurel, you hit the nail on the head. It's important to be able to project that this is going to be a very big business opportunity to get one of those sharks or one of those investors interested in your business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Now, number five, your unique approach. Again, that sounds fairly simple. I think a lot of people think, oh, I got that one handled. So speak to what you really mean by your unique approach.
What I say, Laurel, here, number five, is that your service, your product, your business has to be unique enough such that there's nothing in the market already solving that problem in a similar fashion. So we've already said you need a problem solver. So you're going to solve a problem, and it's got to be unique. This is what we're saying in number five, your unique approach. But is it so unique that you're solving that problem in a fashion that's not already being solved in the market already in a similar way? And that's where you now are becoming different than your competitor. We talk about the word intellectual property. And this is when you have, we call it IP. When you get a certain kind of IP or intellectual property where you can actually get a patent on a process or a product or a service, then now you're really talking, because you have something so unique that the U.S. government will let you actually apply for a patent. Wow. Now you may be onto something that could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay. So solve that problem different than any of your other competitors. And now, if you can show that you're in a market that's very underserved and you solve a problem in that underserved market in a unique fashion like nobody else, that's what a shark wants to hear. Yes, sir, because I want to know that if you come in front of me and you've got something that solves a problem, and it's so unique that nobody else is doing it in that same way, then you might have some intellectual property. We can sit down with some lawyers and protect this and be able to do this on a nationwide basis in the U.S. first, then on a global basis, you might be onto something that is revolutionary and might have tremendous income opportunity. So, yes, I love that kind of uniqueness. And, when you get real hip in this industry, you start calling it IP. It's the intellectual property of your idea, business, or service.
Awesome. Now let's talk about defining the transformation, this magical transformation that is different than the attention grabbing. Attention grabbing is at the beginning of the pitch, few seconds. Now let's talk about the transformation and what that needs to do.
I call it a magical transformation. This is number six. And when you can magically transform something, and I'm going to talk about, think about TV shows. The TV show Biggest Loser. What do they do in Biggest Loser? They provide magical transformation. If you watch season one and watch season 13, you're going to see someone go from 400 pounds to 160 pounds. That makes for good television. So TV shows use magical transformation. But now let's talk about magical transformation in other products. Proactive is an acne product. You can go from pizza face and terrible skin to beautiful, clear skin in a matter of 6 weeks, maybe even less. So magical transformation can be very powerful. It works in weight loss. It works in beauty. It also can work around the kitchen. Turn your cluttered cabinet into something very organized. So sometimes there's organizing systems that will transform a cupboard. There's organizing systems for closets. Have you ever seen California Closet Company that shows an old messed up closet with all kinds of stuff just jumbled all over the place? Now, buy my California Closet system, and what happens? Transform your closet magically into this organized looking closet. And so, yeah, you can have some really big results here. But, you know, I also, it's probably the time that we need to talk about the FTC and, you know, a word on the FTC. And Laura, maybe that's probably better for you to talk about, because we know that you got to be truthful in all your advertising. So maybe you should maybe
Absolutely.
Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I will, because I think, you know, there went through a time where I think you had I say the As Seen on TV and a lot, you know, you had the heyday of being able to do a lot of those big results on TV, and the FTC has really come down. And I'm going to start even before TV and infomercial with just information marketing spam laws. It's a $16,000 violation when you spam someone that you don't have permission and have opted them in legally into your email list. So the FTC is all over, you know, misuse of people's names, from addresses, all of that. So the FTC and the ad must be truthful and non-deceptive at all. I mean, there can be none of that. The advertiser must have evidence to back up their claims, and we're going to talk about that documentation in just a moment. And the advertisements cannot be unfair. So the one thing, because I have a lot of real estate friends who just got completely pummeled, and if you really look at the infomercials right now, there's only about, I think, one person who's still out in the real estate world doing infomercials, because they had to take them all down. And I'm not going to speak names, but if you go back a few years, you can see these, you know, amazing house turnarounds and people becoming millionaires and getting checks. Those were the unusual results. So what I do know about the FTC on TV at this point is you have to show average results. You can show the big result, because every once in a while the big result, you know, shows up, but you've got to show average results. Like in our three-day workshop, you know, the most money ever made was a gentleman from Australia. He made $41,884 in 3 days. Well, that's not typical. Average results in our workshop is between $400 and $600 per person. So when we're even on the internet, like Google had us, we were showing all these extreme results of, you know, I just told you recently, Kevin, we had a teenager, 17 years old, made $9,700 in 3 days. We haven't had a teenager make more than $3,000, much less, you know, a 300% return, you know, growth on that. So, yeah, you can show your extremes, but you've got to have and very clearly disclose your averages. So we want to make a big deal of that. And I think sharks are smart enough. Any shark's going to know, like, it's great to have those extreme results, but you've got to show the average. And then we do have a link that is on the screen for all of you to check that out and make sure you stay compliant. Anything else you want to say
right
about that, or let's move on to number seven?
No, let's go to number seven.
All right, so get visual. Talk about that.
Yes. So think about it this way, Laurel. You know, an investor and a shark, you're constantly getting pitched different ideas and products, because that's just, you know, that's the nature of the business. I see over 1,000 new things every month. And so the more visual something is, and, you know, the more kind of, I call it demonstrable, you know, I like to see people demonstrate their product, their service, or their business, or show me visual ways that you're solving those problems. Show me, you know, visual ways that make it easy and simple to use. Show me the multiple functions, the multifunctionality of your product, because this is sort of like the visualization of something. It now becomes real. A lot of times when people came out on Shark Tank, they would talk to something, and the sharks would be looking at each other like, I don't really understand. And then, boom, they might show a video, and it's like, oh, now I understand. Okay, I'm visualizing it now. So that's why a lot of things don't sell very well on radio. Radio is a much tougher medium to sell certain kinds of products, because it's pretty tough to sell a Ginsu knife on radio, because I want to see that knife cut through a Coca-Cola can, cut through a hammerhead, cut through a muffler, cut through, wow, what are you doing? Well, you're showing all those powerful demos that it does. It's you're visualizing the power of that knife, but then it's so sharp that it even can cut the tomato still, so thin that you can read the Sunday newspaper through it, as Arnold Morris that would joke when he sold the Ginsu knife. So those visualizations are powerful, and that's what I want to see. The world of being able to present a product and visualize what you're showing is so powerful that it, you know, that's why I love the power of television, because I sell on TV and I have a chance to show people demo, multifunctionality of that product. So I think that's pretty easy to understand. You follow that, don't you, Laurel?
Absolutely.
That makes sense,
yep.
Right?
It makes a lot of sense. Now I want to go to the next one, which team and leadership are something that I spoke of for all 17 years I've been teaching so far, and it's interesting that people hear it and don't do enough about it, because if you haven't run a successful business, the chances of getting anybody to put money in, I even tell people down to a credit card, like, why would someone give you a credit card, even a loan for $5,000 or $10,000, if you don't know how to make your own money to have enough wherewithal to not only pay me back, but pay me back with interest and some return. So at the smallest level, people don't understand what lending's about. And the team and leadership have such a big piece of that experience that people can bring onto their team and command money, even though they don't have a lot of the experience. So talk about team leadership and how critical it is.
So let me say this. All seven things that we've talked about so far are very, very important. But if you can't get in front of an investor and talk about your team and your experience, then you're dead right at this point. Because I want to know, you've heard the statement that you back the jockey, not necessarily the horse. Well, if you don't have a good jockey on top of that horse, you're never going to win the Kentucky Derby. That's for doggone sure. Mm-hmm. So, I will say right now, I want to know what your background is, what's your experience, what's your track record. Tell me some positives. Tell me you've done this before, or tell me how you know you're going to do it, what's your knowledge of the industry, and tell me about the experience of your team, because you're a one-man show, and yes, you might be great, but you're not going to be able to do every aspect of this. I want to know that you've got a good finance guy on your team. I want to know that you've got a good social media person on your team. And yes, maybe you're covering some of these bases also, but I want to know that somewhere along the way, that you've got a good operations person, a good finance person, a good marketing and social media person. You've got a good executive, and that's you, the chief executive officer, hopefully, of this company, and that you see the big picture for sure, but you also understand the day-to-day and business needs of that business, and you're not going to lose sight of that. So I say have a great board of advisors and people that have been there before, because, I had a company that I hired a CFO, and I needed – we had a company that was going to go into the public market. We were going to be public, and so my CFO, I wanted somebody that had been a CFO of a public company. I found someone that had already been a CFO of a public company and had experience in raising $275 million prior, and so – yeah, that was the guy I wanted in my seat as the CFO of my company, just about ready to go public, because he had been there and done that. And that's what a shark wants to hear. So have an experienced team. Also make sure that you've got maybe even a board of advisors if you're missing some of that experience that you might need.
Absolutely. And for those of you listening that are also thinking, well, I want to control a lot of this, you've heard on Shark Tank the amount of splits that people can take, what percent for that kind of money. For a lot of you, get deep in your industry. Each industry has multiples. It has a pattern of how they cut deals and who gets what, from who has the idea to who has the money to who's going to run the day-to-day business and how that equity is split. It is really market dependent, depending on where you are and what your category is. So get deep into your category. And also, there's a lot of lawyers that specialize in each of those categories. So you really need advice on how much do you really get to keep if you just have the idea and you actually have no other business skills, because you're going to give away a percent of your company to money, to experience, to the team who's going to run it day to day if they're going to do some sweat equity. So I would say go deep into your category. Kevin, do you have any other advice on where to find that information? Because I find a lot of people get stuck there that they don't know how to cut the deal. And we're not going to go into that on this one.
I think
it's a different product.
Yes.
But yeah.
I go to industry associations. I'm a member of the Electronic Retailing Association, for example. I actually was one of the co-founders of ERA. And if I need a producer, I need a lawyer, I need whatever it is I need, I call the head of the ERA. They've got a recommendation, kind of a process there, and they can give me two or three different opinions on any different position. I get involved in the direct selling association type of businesses also, and so I go to the DSA and ask them for questions. In the home in the housework category, there's the, you know, you can call the publisher of Homeworld magazine and ask him, hey, who do you recommend for taking products into retail? And sometimes in the world of business success and financial success, hey, look, I've called Success Magazine and Darren Hardy, the associate publisher there. I'll ask Darren, hey, I need somebody to help me out with some social media or some of this. Darren Hardy is the kind of guy that you might call and ask for some references and some opinions. And by the way, I like to be able to also receive some of those references when someone calls some of these people. So when you're referring people to them and they're referring people to you, that can also be a win-win for you as a business person. But lots of great places to get some good recommendations.
Absolutely. Let's move on to number 9. You have to have better testimonials. So let's talk about the kind of testimonials. There are different kinds that you're going to need as you pitch to a shark.
Okay. The first one I look for, it's real easy, consumer testimonials, the people that buy the product. Testimonials of people that buy the product and their user testimonials. So that's the first and most basic. But I also then, when we talk about better testimonials, let's go and get a lot more than just that. I want to hear about professional and industry testimonials. I want to get industry testimonials from experts, from people, maybe it's lawyers, maybe it's accountants, maybe it's financial people, maybe it's a doctor. So if it's a skincare product, maybe it's a doctor that's talking about the study that he did on this, or just how his patients like this product. Now you've got that professional testimonial. How about next is, we call it an editorial testimonial. And this is, I'll give you, I mentioned Homeworld Magazine just a bit ago here. So if I have a kitchen product and I can get the publisher of Homeworld Magazine to come on and give me a testimonial, that can be very, very powerful, because I had a case where we had the publisher of Homeworld Magazine said, I see thousands of new products a year in the housework categories, but this product is so amazing, it's going to revolutionize the home cooking industry this next 12 months. So, wow, that is powerful. That's what I call an editorial testimonial. The last one that we're going to talk about here in our session today from Better Testimonials is clinical testimonials. And this is now third-party testimonials from testing labs or third-party results from either a clinical study or a testing lab or a doctor's office that's gone and through the process of proving that the product or the service works, and it works the way that you've said it does. Because that ultimately, now it's not, it's subjective. This is not, oh, maybe it does this. This is now the proof that it does it. So a clinical testimonial can be, at the end, very, very powerful.
So for those of you listening, we have gone through 9. We're about to go to number 10. I'll do a review at the end and just go back through them all. But let's go right to celebrity appeal, which is number 10. And I think a lot of people will probably be hearing that, Kevin, and saying, well, I don't know any celebrities. So talk about the power of using them and how would they go about securing something like that.
It's so powerful if you can bring a celebrity in. Nowadays, I look for a celebrity that really gets engaged with the product, somebody that really loves the product. And if that's the case, Suzanne Somers was a great example that she, like when she did Thighmaster, for example, wow, that she loved it, she used it, she walked the walk and talked the talk. And so Tony Little is the same way in the fitness categories. When he launches a product, he has to believe in it. And I know I've seen him turn many products down that he didn't actually feel were worthy of his brand. So when you have a good celebrity, you know, they become a testimonial. They demonstrate the product. They get behind it, and they become a publicity plan for you. And let me tell you something, if you haven't thought about this, okay, because we did a deal with Holly Madison recently. Holly Madison, some people may not know, but she was in the Hugh Hefner show, The Girl Next Door. She was Hugh Hefner's for Playboy magazine. He was his girlfriend. Holly Madison has 1.4 million Twitter followers. So when we did a deal with her, what did we get? Her 1.4 million followers as part of the deal. So what a deal that was for me to get the celebrity appeal of Holly Madison, but to get all of her Twitter followers. And then we brought on CeeLo Green. He had over 6 million followers, and that became a publicity plan all unto itself. So what's happening in today's world is that celebrities are bringing not just their name and what they think about the product, but they're also bringing some customers along with it, and that can be so, so powerful. So, yes, celebrities can help make your product famous. They can help build the track record of it, and they have, you know, they have that level of credibility. If a buyer is sitting there and they're on the fence, if they know that the celebrity has checked this thing out, the celebrity has they have their own bank of lawyers and experts that make sure that everything is in place before they endorse that product in almost every single case. So the celebrity appeal can be a real game changer for any entrepreneur if you can get them on board. And there's a lot of ways we can show you how to do that, and I know we're going to talk about how people are going to be able to interact with you and I on all these things, but I like to say you don't have to just write the big check to get celebrities, because I've gotten many celebrities without ever giving them a dime up front, and that's the art of the deal, is being able to get a celebrity in without writing that big check.
Well, and I think what all of you that are listening need to really hear, too, is that, you know, a shark doesn't just bring money. I mean, brings amazing Rolodex along with. And so, Kevin, before I repeat the final 10, I do want you to give kind of the latest, what I call big success story and fun, the guys from South Africa, and just how you were able to not only, you know, invest, which was a very small amount, considering, but you got them on Wall Street Journal, you got them in a crowdfunding. I mean, you didn't just bring money to the deal. And I think it was just, it's a great kind of summation of how when you can attract the shark, what the possibility of something like a can made into a guitar can do,
yes,
and how quickly you move them through using your Rolodex.
It's, yes, so it's so powerful. You mentioned the key word there, the Rolodex, and that is what you want the shark for. Because when I met Adam and Sean Lee from South Africa, 28 years old, Adam, and is the head of the company, and they're actually partners in the business. They had an oil can, they made a guitar out of it, and so now they're crowdfunding sensations, and they've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars on this idea. They started out just looking for tens of thousands, but it's now become hundreds of thousands because the business has grown so fast and furious that their original projection called for a $2 million business. We've already upped it, and you know, I'll take some of the credit for this, not all of it, but I'll take some of the credit because I opened up my Rolodex. They were making the product in China. They had the wrong factory. I turned them on to the right factory. They're now making their guitars right next to Gibson guitars, and so their factory couldn't make the product. They missed their Christmas season, and now my Rolodex has opened up the world to them from many, many standpoints. We're getting PR firms behind them. We're getting celebrities behind them. We're getting more money raised. And they have completely wiped out all their projections. They said their vision was a $2 million business. They now have upped it to $10 million, but I'm going to talk them into upping it to $25 million because this company is going to go way beyond what they had expected. So, yes, the Rolodex of the shark can be unbelievable. I've made product in virtually every category, and I've got connections, whether it be phone apps, service businesses, product businesses, entrepreneurial businesses. As one of the founders of the Entrepreneurs Organization, we're in 45 countries. We got thousands of members. We go to those members and look for help. We go to the Rolodex of every factory that I've ever dealt with in housewares, in hardware, in fishing, in golf, in every in beauty, in fitness, every kind of category you can think of. I've been there, and I'm able to open the floodgates to the people that you and I are going to be doing business with. So, yes, that's one of the most powerful things that you're going to get from the shark is you're going to be able to get that Rolodex. Absolutely, very, very powerful.
Absolutely. So those of you that have been out, if you missed anything, let me go back through the 10. And because you have downloaded this, you can come back and re-listen to this as many times as you want. Download the PowerPoints. Stay connected as you're putting your pitch together. So number one is your attention getting statement. Number two, your mass market focus. Number three, identify the problem you solve. Number four, know your numbers. Number five, your unique approach has to be clearly outlined. And then define, and number six, your magical transformation. Number seven, get visual so we can see it. Taste it, touch it, all of it. Make sure there's some experience with it. Number eight, most critical, you can have all these things together without the right team and leadership. The chances of getting anyone to invest is going to be quite slim. Number nine, better testimonials. And number 10, the celebrity appeal. So when you're pulling that pitch together, Kevin, I just want you to give some last advice to what are the components in addition to practice to be able to pitch. What are some final actions and thoughts you'd have to the folks listening about how to pull these 10 together?
Can sometimes might become very overpowering in your mind. So I'm going to give you, and I had to wait till the very end to tell you, it's there's a three-step simple thing to always remember. I say T's, please, and C's. Okay, so T's is that attention getting, please is now solving those problems, and C's is asking, you know, for that money and asking for the order at the end. So you know, at the end of the day, you need to make sure that you've done as many of these 10 as possible. If you've teased them and you pleased them and you seized them and you practiced it and you've got some visuals, and you know, at the end of the day, that's going to be very, very powerful. I think what I do say, practice, do it in front of a mirror, turn the camera on, videotape yourself doing it, and have visual aids if possible. Like, you know, I mentioned part of the visuals and the demonstrations. If, you know, if you can play video, get some video, shoot some video, because in the world of all of this, and we talked about crowdfunding, it's, you know, almost every crowdfunding success story has some kind of a video attached to it. So make sure your plan is solid. Make sure that you have plenty of energy in your presentation. Practice. Videotape yourself. Have other people comment. You know, believe it or not, you know, I've been doing this now for many, many years, 30 years in the infomercial business, and I've been on camera now for many years also. But many times before I do any of it, I'll practice in front of my wife, and she's usually one of the best to be able to tell me what I'm doing wrong or where to improve and how to, you know, get a little bit better. And boy, I really do learn when she, because she can be brutally honest, okay, my wife. So, you know, I'm sure you know the what I'm talking about. So, you know, don't ask somebody to critique you that's not afraid to tell you where you might be able to pick it up, slow it down, do whatever. But, yes, pull it together. And you know, when I go on, I'll give you an example. I went on the very first time I ever went on The View. This is a number of years ago, and I've been on there, you know, almost a dozen times now. So the very first time they said, Kevin, we want you to do six products, but you only get 1 minute per product. And I thought, oh, wow, that's going to be easy. But guess what? I had to make five copy points per product. So now that's five copy points times six. That's 30 copy points that I had to make. So when I first did it, they said, you've got that 6 minute block. My first time I tried it, if I hadn't rehearsed, I was 12 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I would have only been halfway through. They would have never invited me back. I would have been done. So I had to rehearse, and I probably did it close to 100 times. And when I went on the first time, everybody said, wow, that was great. And you just look so natural. I said, yeah, it took me 100 times to practice this to be so natural, right? So don't ever think that you're going to do it the first time without some some problems in remembrance. So make sure that when you get that shot, it might be the one shot that you've got to get in front of that chart. Just make sure you're ready. And that's why I say you've got to have that elevator pitch ready to go. Be ready. Be prepared. And you know what? You'll have the confidence then with that preparation, and that confidence is going to come through in your presentation, and you're going to get that shark. And that's what you and I are here to help all of the people listening to us right now, to help them get that shark and get that investment or whatever it is they're looking for. So it was great to be able to be here with you, Laurel. I'm learning so much also listening to you talk, too. So thanks for having me as part of our presentation today.
Absolutely. And Kevin, I want to thank you and all of you that are out listening. As Kevin and I come together and our partnership unfolds, we are doing a tour called The Shark Made Millionaires. So below is a link that you can click on where we take you to a page where you can apply to pitch us live. And we are going to be traveling throughout the United States. We'll be in Australia. We're going to be doing some virtual presentations as well where you'll have an opportunity to pitch. So what we've done is on that page, we've given you some samples of really good pitches. So we want you to go study them, and then we're going to do a little bit of a review for you to get ready to do a two-minute pitch to us so you can apply to be in front of us. And I would say, I'm going to even expand it. If you don't have an opportunity to be in front of us and actually audition and maybe get funded and learn more about crowdfunding, and as we continue, like I said, to unfold the opportunity for you to work with us, at least get your presentation down. All of you have enormous ideas. You have God-given skills and talents and products. And, you know, some of the best products and some of the best books and some of the best things I've ever seen sit on shelves because you don't get to the playing field and don't learn how to do it. So click on the link below. Look at the pitches. Put one together. Practice, practice, practice. When you feel ready, do your two-minute video. Put it up on YouTube so we can start screening and looking for it, and then get registered to come out and be with us. We're going to be, like I said, a lot of cities around the country and different places in the world, so stay tuned. 2014 will be an extraordinary year, and you might get funded. So, Kevin, thanks for those 10. And for all of you listening, we did want to really give you some examples of a perfect pitch. So these are a few companies that Kevin is also an investor in, who did them on the Shark Tank. And we want you to click on the link below, and that'll take you to a perfect pitch. So I want you to review some of the perfect pitches, go back through them over and over and over. And then those of you who want to apply to actually come see Kevin and I live, we're going to be doing our Shark Made Millionaire tour. So you have to come out and see us, and you might, if you actually did the application, put it up on YouTube, you might get selected that day. We are not going to tell people who we're going to review. We're going to do it in the moment, so you have to come prepared. And we will have quite a day out on the tour, picking through applications and having you pitch us live. It'll be 2 minutes with a little bit of feedback. We're going to go through as many as we can. But right now, click on the link. Go see what a perfect pitch looks like.